So we reveal the second O of our prayer campaign for roots. So we have, first week was repentance, second week, this past week was openness, and this week will be on obedience. And I think it's very like apt that we are working through the words of roots, and you know, just after these like weeks of just opening our hearts and like opening our ears to the Lord, we want to hear what the Lord has to say for our congregation, for our church, and for us. So in the word obedience, it's to hear what God has to say. So if you haven't gone through the first 2 weeks, it's fine. But I encourage you for this week to really pray and to seek, you know, where God is wanting us to step into, what he is calling us. And I know there's that small voice inside of us that will tell you what what God is saying to you. So just be on guard for that. And I pray that if you can not just only pray, but I encourage you to fast. So again, we are heading towards Easter and we want to prepare our hearts. So I encourage you, fasting can be any way. Like you can fast one day, you can fast like a meal. So it's up to you. We don't have like a set schedule for the fasting. So go ahead and I encourage you to fast while you pray. And if you, again, I know we've said this many weeks, but if you haven't signed up for the SMS updates, go ahead and sign up. So to be included in our SMS, text this number. It's 1-855-606-2968. Text THMCEM on it and write your name on it too. So then we know like who that number belongs to. And once you're on our list, then Julia will send you guys reminders. Again, week by week, we will have new updates coming up, especially going forward now, because we really don't know where we're going to go. And so we're literally waiting on the Lord every week to provide for our church. So it's not to like scare you guys, but just to be in anticipation of the things that's going to happen. So that will be the text message that I want you guys to sign up for. I'll go ahead and read the scripture reading. So if we could continue to stand for the scripture reading, if you can all stand. Psalm 145, 1 through 7. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His gratefulness no one can fathom. One generation commends your work to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Or no, good afternoon, sorry. I don't know what time zone I'm in. All right, well, it's good to be with you. This, like Eliza said, this may be one of the last ones, at least for a while, since my husband and I will be traveling in the next few months. And as I was, because we're just coming back from our time in Kona, Hawaii, where our Youth with a Missions organization is at, and spending a few weeks there just listening to different people reporting in from the field, and also Lauren Cunningham, who's the founder, sharing his vision, even, as he is struggling in his own way with his failing health. The Lord has really impressed something on his heart. And so I wanted to today, as our reading said, that God is most worthy of praise, and I want to be able to share some of the stories that tell of God's good deeds. I imagine like today being like, you know, us sitting around in a living room just sharing stories as families, right? Just, we belong to a greater family than just THMC. We belong to the body of Christ. And so whatever is happening out there is our story. Whatever is happening out there is my story, your story. And I want to just share these stories with you to know that each one of you belong to a story that is bigger that's greater than what's just happening in our own lives. Is that good? Is that okay? All right, so I wanted to first, the reason why I want to do this is, to see the big picture, but also to encourage our own faith. I know that this sort of different people have come in and shared their own testimonies to share with you how they have grown in the spirit and in faith. And I think that stories are very good ways of sharing how we grow in our faith, how we keep in our faith. And I hope that these stories, I'm going to share four stories, and I hope that these stories will help you, encourage you, to empower you to see how big God is and that God is still at work in our lives and in the lives of people all around the world. Amen? Okay, so first story I want to share with you is my own story. So a couple of weeks ago, I led a women's retreat. And as I was prepared for this retreat, I felt like the Lord impressed on my heart that he wanted to heal people physically, that there would be some physical healing. And so I was like, yes, Lord, bring it on, right? So we love seeing miracles in our lives. And so I was praying for that. And then the week before the retreat, I had this severe sciatic problem. I normally have some sciatic pains here and there, but this one was very different because I got out of bed, and as soon as I tried to put my leg down, like my leg gave away. And I was like, oh no, what is this? I can't, and I was limping, and I couldn't walk, so I laid down for the weekend, and then it lasted the next day, and I was like, Lord, at this rate, I can't even go to the retreat. Like, I'm not going to be able to leave this retreat. How am I going to do anything? And it was so, so painful. And so there was a lot of massaging and a lot of Theragun and so forth. And then on Monday, my husband had to go to Kona. So I was driving him to LAX. And we noticed that our tire had a slow leak. So he was like, I'm so sorry, I should have taken care of it, but, make sure you take care of it before you go home, because once you lay down and, if you don't drive the car for a couple of days, it will be more hassle to deal with. So just make sure you get that fixed. So I drove to a tire center near our house, like a few minutes away, and I go there, and it's one of those tire centers where they sell those, rims? They have these rims everywhere, and these big burly guys are working on big monster trucks everywhere, and here I am, like, limping in like this, going, can you fix my leaking tire? And so, they took me in and worked, very quickly. And the person who was, helping me check out, he's like, hey, what's wrong with you? And I said, oh, I hurt my back. I didn't want to explain all the, sciatic or whatever. I just said, I hurt my back. And he's like, oh, okay. And so then he's like, your keys are on the dashboard of your car. So I was like, thank you. And I was like limping back to my car, like really slowly, And then he just came around, because I parked really far. And so he came around to the car and he handed me the keys. And he said to me, I'm a Christian. And is it okay if I pray for you? And I was like, sure. I love it. And I didn't say I'm a Christian too or anything. I was like, yes, I'll take prayer. And so, we stood right by my car, and he prayed like 15, 30-second prayer. Jesus, we believe in you, that you still heal. We ask that you heal in Jesus' name. Something like that. It was very simple. And said, amen. Said, thank you so much. Got in my car, went to my home. Again, it's only a 3-minute drive, right? So I get into our house, and because we live in a townhouse, we have two sets of stairs that we have to climb to get to our bedroom, right? And previously, I'm like holding onto the rail, taking one step down at a time, right? But this time, I walked up the stairs without any assistance, and then I realized at the top of the stairs, wait a second, what happened? Like, I don't have pain anymore. I could walk. So then I was like, I think I'm healed. So I started texting people, texting my husband, texting my family and stuff, and the story. And then I called the guy, back at the tire center and said, there is this, I didn't get his name, so I was like, there's this big burly guy with a mustache, and I had this car, and he helped me with this, and then he prayed for me, and they're like, oh, he just stepped out. I was like, oh, could you tell him I'm totally healed? And the guy was like, oh, that is so great. That's so awesome. I'll tell him, you know? And so that just gave me that healing, that miraculous healing gave me so much faith that God was going to do something at the retreat even, right? That he was proving to me, hey, Chris, I'm still in the business of healing. And so we go to the retreat, and there were a couple of sisters who couldn't make it to the retreat. And one of them was Eliza, who couldn't come because she was struggling with upper respiratory situation. And so that night we prayed all together. I said, Lord, you know, heal these sisters, bring them to this retreat. And I pray for it. When I was praying for Eliza, I said, Lord, will you heal her so that she would feel such a difference that it would be like day and night when she wakes up tomorrow morning. So then she shows up the next day, and Eliza says, I feel like day and night. And I was like, wow. She used the same words that I prayed for the night before, and God had healed her enough to bring her to the retreat. And then the second night we were praying, and I just felt like, okay, Lord wants to heal more people. So as we were worshiping and so forth, I just said, okay, if you have any pain, just place your hands on that area, in those areas where you're hurting, and let's pray. Let's see what the Lord will do. And we prayed, and God healed this one sister who had extreme pain in her hip flexors. It wasn't instantaneous. And she didn't realize it when she was praying, but then after the prayer, she was walking to her room, and she realized, oh, it's not hurting anymore. And then next morning, she woke up, and she said, I've been healed, right? And then another sister, she has like an ulcer type of pain in her stomach that was hurting constantly. And as we were worshiping and praying for healing, it was instantaneous for her. That pain that she was experiencing all week long, she was relieved from that pain. So I share this story to just testify that God still heals even today. That he is God who heals our physical pain, but also our spiritual pain and our emotional pains. God is still at work. Amen? Amen. Now I'm going to tell you three other stories, and now these stories are going to be in the context of YWAM story. So YWAM is a mission organization called Youth with a Mission. So if I say YWAM, you'll know. It's a Youth with a Missions organization established in 1960. And I'm going to talk about, I may drop a word called DTS. DTS is called Disciple Training School. It's an entry course that you take to go into YWAM. Okay, so DTSs are like students who are new to YWAM who has to go through that course, 12-week course, and then 2 months of outreach. So that's a whole DTS program. So that's what it is, because I'm going to be using those terms I wanted to share with you so that you have context when you hear these terms. Now, the first story, I'll take us to Brazil. Okay, so in 1974, a 24-year-old man and his newlywed wife decided to go to Brazil to start pioneering work in that nation. He's an American, doesn't speak a lick of Portuguese, but they decided to go to Brazil with $3 in their pocket, 1974. Very similar to maybe some of our immigrant parents, right? So they go there, and in the earlier days, their names are Jim and Pam Steyer. In earlier days, Jim had met a local pastor who wanted to go into the Amazon jungles because there are many, many different tribes in the Amazon jungle, and they wanted to minister to the people in these jungles. And so they got in a boat, this local pastor, another man, and Jim. Three of them got on a boat, and they started to go up the river in Amazon. And the boat all of a sudden came to a riverbank, and Jim didn't know why they were stopping, so he got out of the boat. And the next thing he knew, the boat, the pastor, and the guy left him and started going away from him. And he's like, what's going on? And they said, oh, we'll be back. But he doesn't know when they'll be back, right? So he's standing there going, oh, I'm now stranded in the jungle. And so then he walks in and he finds a village people. And the village people, they don't speak any Portuguese because they speak their own language. But Jim didn't know what to do, so he decided to just preach. Who knows, right? Maybe some of them will understand Portuguese. So he started to preach, and for 5 straight days, he preached in Portuguese the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then finally the boat came back, and he went on this journey. Now, many years later, he found out, in a very strange coincidence, that this village became a mission-sending village within the Amazon tribes. And how that happened from the village point of view is that there was a white man who came into their village one day and preached for 5 straight days in perfect local language that they understood. And because of that, many people came to know the Lord, and then they themselves became missionaries to other tribes. And the person who brought this story to him was a third-generation missionary who came to his base, YWAM base, in Brazil to do a DTS. And she told of her tribe's story. And then they realized the timing, the story, the white man was Jim Steyer. But he was speaking Portuguese, but the people heard it in their own tribal language. Our God is a great translator. He overcomes any barriers that we see as barriers to reach the people. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that awesome? Now I'm going to take you to Africa. Okay, we're going all around the world today. Go to Africa. Now there is a missionary. His name is Paul Datunda. Okay, he is a Burkina Faso man who pioneered YWAM bases in Togo, and now he's in Nigeria. He's been in Nigeria for a couple of decades. Now, if you know Nigeria, northern half of Nigeria has been impacted by ISIS, right? And they are, Boko Haram have been killing Christians, beheading them, slaughtering them, just brutalizing them for decades. Bottom half of Nigeria are ruled by militants. They started a student movement who saw the injustice over the natural resources in their nation. And then because they could, you know, through the evolution of them being militants, they became very hardened people. They started recruiting child soldiers and so forth. And these child soldiers would grow up in the militants becoming very, very hard, right? And they would kidnap foreigners for ransom and things. And in Nigeria, there's a base in Port Harcourt, and it's led by Paul Datunda. And one of the DTSs, they were praying about their outreach, where they should go on their outreach, right, after they have finished their lecture phase. And God led them to go into where the militants were, the camps where the militants were, right? That's pretty scary. Nobody goes to them, right? And nobody wants them to come to them either. But they felt from the Lord they were to go and serve them. Now, it takes great faith for the leaders, at least I mean, for the students to hear that and obey, but for the leaders to say okay to that, it takes everyone's faith, right? But they felt like it was God, and so they were all willing to go. And so they went into the jungles where the militants are, and they start to serve them, cooking for them, cleaning and doing laundry for them, showing the love of Jesus to them. And slowly, people started to encounter God in such supernatural way that they started to surrender their weapons. And they started to surrender their lives to God. And it became such a big event that, you know, they had to, the Wyomers, they're like, have to transport these arms, these weapons, and take them to the government, right? And because they're saying, okay, we're surrendering. And so they're giving these weapons. And so then eventually the government had to come up with an amnesty program for these militants. And Wyom helped in that process, that they were able to come and surrender and change their lives. And thousands upon thousands of militants, since the beginning of that genesis, a small group of people going into the militants' camp and loving on them and serving them, has led a change in that nation. Just a small group of people. Another story from the northern part now. So what Paul Tatunda is doing right now is that he felt God laid on his heart to go and find the widows of people who have been, especially the pastors and Christians who have been slaughtered by the Islamic groups. And so he went up to northern part, and he realized that in his purview, there were 6,000 widows that were displaced. Right? When your husbands are killed, or you don't have husbands in these kind of nations, you don't have a way to live, right? And their children are displaced. And so he went there and he saw the need to take care of these widows, because the Bible says to care for the widows and the orphans. And so then he started to bring them, he started to offer counseling and prayer, but he realized that their trauma is so deep that they needed even deeper healing. So then he started to bring them to his base, which is, again, like 1,000 kilometers away from north, down to south, because north is still unsafe to run any kind of Christian program. So he would bring 100 of them at a time, and he's ministering to them. And these wives, widows, have completely been healed and changed. And now he's working on how to equip them so that they can survive. And these widows are going around like praising God in other villages, showing how much God has healed them in their lives from this awful trauma. Some of them have watched their husbands being beheaded, being tortured, brutally killed, and so the trauma is deep. Yet God was delivering each one of them from this trauma. And so this is the kind of work that Paul Tatunda is doing, and making an impact on a national level. Can we believe? I know that it, especially in America right now, there's a lot of polarizing things that are going on in our nation, right? And even like Tuesday, what's going to happen Tuesday? You know, there's just a lot of things going on. But can we believe that our God, who is great, and the psalmist that had talked about how great the deeds of God in the past, we're talking about in our verses today, is still at work today. He is still at work, and God can change nations. God can change the narrative of a nation when there's gospel and people who are ready to obey the calling of God. Our nation can change. Our nations can change around the world. Amen? Now, the last story that I want to share with you is a story about a man with a simple prayer, but a radical obedience. And I noticed that your week, going through your Lent season, this week is obedience, right? So as Eliza shared. So maybe this will also help you sit with what it means to obey in the theme and going along with the theme. So in 1921, after the Spanish flu, it was a pandemic, there was an American man who felt from the Lord, from God, to pray for Africa, specifically for a tribe called Mosi tribe. This man never heard of the Mosi tribe, right? But he felt like God was telling him to pray for the Mosi tribe. So he faithfully was praying for the Mosi tribe every single day, that they would hear the gospel, that would come to know the salvation knowledge, and that they would be a blessed tribe. And then the next thing that God laid on his heart is to go and find the Mosi tribe. So he was looking up and where he should go. And so in the 1920s, he got on a ship, crossed the Atlantic Ocean, got through the very west part of Africa, Senegal. He landed in Senegal, and nobody speaks English, right? But he's asking people, Mosi tribe, do you know Mosi tribe? He was in the market for 3 weeks asking somebody, just anybody, Mosi tribe. At the end of third week, some guy comes up to him in very broken English, Mosi tribe, far, far, far away. Far, you got to walk far, far. And gotta go to Ouagadougou, right? So he's like, okay, Ouagadougou, how do I get to Ouagadougou? You know, and so he started to walk across Senegal, because that's where he landed, walk across Senegal. Then he walked across Mali, got to Timbuktu, and then went to this town, this area called Ouagadougou, which is the Burkina Faso area. That was over 1,400 kilometers. I think it's like over 860 miles. By foot, he walked months and months just to get to Ouagadougou. So he goes there, and then he finally finds the Mosi tribe. The Mosi tribe actually happens to be this fearless warrior tribe, very big, that spans their influence over many countries, right? So he says, God, I found them. I found the Mosi tribe. So what do I do now? And God says, go home and tell people about them. Months of traveling on the ship, months of walking. Now you want me to go back? So this man goes back home and shares about his journey, about these people, Ouagadougou, the Mosi tribe. And out of that, 17 families are raised to go and become missionaries for this Mosi tribe. Right? And one of the first missionary that becomes one of the first believer that becomes a missionary from the Mosi tribe he's a succession to the royal family. It's because it's ruled by kingship, right? And this man who is to be the next king after that king dies becomes a Christian and decides to become a missionary instead of a king, right? His name was Samuel. So Samuel traveled and evangelized to the Mosi tribe, to the other people, to other tribes as well. And his first wife dies, and he remarries, and his wife, the second wife, has a son. That son grows up and becomes a missionary himself. He actually becomes a YWAMer and becomes a missionary. And that boy from Samuel and his second wife, that boy who became a missionary is Paul Datunda. the guy that I had just told you about. And now because he is from a royal blood, recently the king had died of that tribe, and all the people had to come together, and he was there, and he was the next succession in line. So they were asking him, be our king, you're the next one. And he said, no, I am called by God to be a missionary. And so the people knew that he had already made his mind up. And so like 1,000 people showed up at the airport to try to block him from leaving the country. And Paul, hearing this, decided to leave by bus to Togo. And from Togo, he flew out to Nigeria because he had a call on his life as a missionary. But imagine if that one man in 1920 did not obey, did not take that step to go and find the Mosi tribe. He paid a great cost, didn't he? He had to leave his job. He had to walk many, many miles. Who knew? Who knows what happened day to day? How many times he was discouraged? How many times he had, his feet must have been blistered. I don't know if he brought multiple pairs of shoes. His feet must have been blistered. He must have gone hungry so many days. Yet he radically obeyed because there was a word of God in his heart. But this one man's obedience has impacted not only Nigeria, but Togo, and many, many more. Thousands and thousands of lives have been impacted by this one man who heard the voice of God and radically obeyed. Now, as I share these stories, I'm sure it may sound so foreign, right? So distant, Brazil, Africa. But as we recite the Apostles' Creed, what do we say? That we are one family, one Catholic church. We belong to a greater family. So here at THMC, you may feel like, oh, this is all we do and all we have. But I want us to know that being a part of God's family, we belong to a greater story that's happening all around the world. And that story, as foreign as that may sound or far as that may sound, is part of our inheritance. It is part of who we are. We belong to that kind of a family. Our God is that kind of a God who works miracles today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He heals my body. He heals other people's bodies. He hears our needs, and he provides for us. But he also is moving people and nations at a time. Our God is a big God. We dare not reduce our God to our own circumstances. We dare not reduce God to be someone puny, someone we just ask for things, like our Santa Claus. He is a big God. He is at work. He's doing incredible things. The nations are changing out there. Amen? So what is our part? What is our part? Now, I'll close with this. My husband and I, as you guys came up and prayed, we will be going on a journey. I don't know, maybe 3 months, maybe 6 months. We don't know yet. It's not defined yet. We're still figuring out. But there has been this sort of vision upon our founder of Youth with a Mission. He is in his late 80s. He's been sick. He has just been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. It's in his bones, but he has other ailments as well that could take him in any direction. He could die of an aneurysm and a heart attack. He could be paralyzed because there's a tumor on his spine. So there's many things that's going on with him in this situation, in this current time. Yet, God has put a vision on his heart. And that vision is called oral mother tongue. And so if you can just put that up on the screen. What oral mother tongue is, there are two initiatives. One is for everyone in YWAM world and outside of YWAM to select a language that does not have the Bible in completion, and to come around that language, to be committed to pray for that language every single day until they have a Bible in their language. That's one. Second is for the YWAMers, but for YWAMers to go and seek people in the tribes, in the jungles, in the streets, wherever, and find people who speak this mother tongue, whatever the language is, that does not have the Bible, and equipping them, serving them, and providing for them so that they themselves can translate the Bible in their own language, instead of waiting for professionals to come and translate the Bible, instead of waiting for the Wycliffe people to come and spend 50 years of learning language and culture to translate the Bible. We want to empower the indigenous people to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, and they themselves would translate the Bible for their own people. And most of them do not have written system, so it has to be oral. It has to be storytelling. It has to be recorded. So that's the initiative that the Lord has put on Lauren's heart, and he's been at full charge of going after this vision. And so what my husband and I will be doing is taking that vision and taking it to YWAM bases all around the world and sharing this vision so that people will catch the vision, go out and find the people that are indigenous, that do not have the Bible, and then helping them to start Bible translation in their own mother tongue. Because in Revelation 7, it says that all around God's throne, we will be praising God from all nations, all tribe, and all languages. So what we want to do is we want to do what will happen in the heavens when we are all gathered around God's throne, praising God, and everyone gets to praise God in their own language. We want that to happen on earth as it is in heaven. That's what this vision is. So that's why my husband and I are going to take this vision around the world. THMC, do you want to be part of this? Can you be a part of something that is bigger than you? That even if it feels insignificant, believing that one prayer and that radical obedience can change generations of people. So what you can do is make groups of three people in your church and select a language. Go to prayomt.com and select a language and start praying diligently every day. And ask God, is there anything that we can do to serve this language group? And who knows, out of your prayer, one day, you have someone like Paul Datunda, who's changing the nations. So our prayer, although it may seem weak at times, can be very powerful if we are willing to obey radically what God says. It is not us who has to do the miracles. All we are asked to do is obey. It is God who does the miracles. Amen? Amen. All right, so I hope that was encouraging to you. I hope that you will remember that our God is powerful, that our God is still at work, that he is changing people around the globe, that God is still at work. And this is who our Father is. He is not small. He is not silent. He is not quiet. He is at work doing mighty things all around the world. Amen. Amen.